I've had a great year. You know, Ann Arbor and the University of Michigan is a spectacular place to live and work.
Have there been any surprises?
I'm a lifelong academic, so I'm basically comfortable in the environment of the university. I've worked at universities similar to the University of Michigan. I guess one surprise is how wonderful Ann Arbor is as a place to live and work. The restaurant scene, it's walkable, arts and culture beyond the imagination for a smallish city. So that's wonderful. That's been a very pleasant surprise.
Now, you said recently a major focus of your presidency would be on diversity, equality, and inclusion. So where do you stand on that right now?
Well, the University of Michigan has a longstanding commitment to educating the most talented students in the rising generation and to giving them a world-class education. I don't believe that we can achieve our level of excellence we aspire to without being as diverse as the society we serve. It's particularly important because I think students spend a lot of their time learning from one another. It's not just learning from faculty members. And I've always learned more from people that have a different background than me, that just look at the world through a different set of eyes. So we're trying to build this learning community that looks like the state.
Now, the university came out with some research last June finding more than 20% of undergraduate female students at the University of Michigan say they experienced some sort of non-consensual sexual behavior in the past year. And you were quoted as saying, as a university president, a physician, scientist, educator, and father, the issue of sexual misconduct keeps me awake at night. As we begin this new academic year, where do you and the university stand on that right now?
Sure. So I do feel responsible for the health and safety of all of the students that come here to study at the university. You really can't study and learn and grow as we want our students to do if you don't feel safe. Sexual misconduct is a problem not just on college campuses, but a particular problem in the 18 to 30-year-old age group. We surveyed, as you pointed out, in great detail the practices and the way people feel about our campus, so that we can target our educational and prevention efforts and then our support efforts where they're most needed.
I was personally touched by those comments. Is it difficult for you to mix your personal reactions with a huge institution and the situation here?
Well, you know, professionally, you can't take individual episodes personally, and it's a big, complicated community. But as a father of four children who've just passed through the age window of college, my youngest graduated college last May, it's very personal for me. I can identify with what the students are experiencing, their joys, the sort of sense of optimism and immortality from this window of time in one's life. It's such a special time that I want the students to get absolutely everything out of this years at University of Michigan as possible. And part of that requires that we really focus on their health and safety.
And also as a father of four who just put four children through college, you know about the affordability of a college education. Is there any hope for that, or is it going to just keep going up, or what can we do about that?
Sure. So I think, you know, affordability, really more broadly accessibility to this kind of education is a concern of families all across the country as I travel around and get to know our alumni base and in my previous institutions. What most people don't appreciate is the University of Michigan has very aggressively restrained the growth of tuition, focused inward, deriving as much efficiency in how we operate the university as possible, and using the money we save to moderate tuition growth. In addition, we make enormous and growing investments in financial aid so that we can attract to Michigan students who are talented, hardworking, committed to their studies and to their future, regardless of where they come from in terms of socioeconomic status. What most people don't realize is the cost of attending the University of Michigan for students from within the state that receive financial aid, which is 70% of our in-state students receive at least some financial aid, that cost hasn't gone up in 5 or 6 years. So every time we have to raise tuition modestly, we match that with increases in financial aid.
How do you balance the importance of academics and athletics at a place like U of M?
Well, athletics, as I've learned, is really a target of tremendous passion from across the breadth, not just of the campus community and the region, but our alumni all around the country. We've got 500,000 alumni, and it seems like every one of them wrote me an email last year when our football team was struggling. I've come to look at athletics in general, football in particular, as sort of the connective tissue that holds our far-flung community together across the generations, across great distances. However, even in the height of the scrutiny of our athletics program last fall, I don't think anybody mistook athletics with the core mission of the university. And we're a research and teaching institution. Athletics is great fun. It's an important part of our culture. But at the end of the day, our value to society, to Michigan, is to be an engine of innovation, is to educate the best of the rising generation. Athletics is a part of our community, but it's not our mission.
Talking to Mark Schlissel, an MD and a PhD, does that mean I have to call you Dr. Doctor?
You can just call me President Schlissel.
Okay. Oh, so you mentioned that you have four children of your own as we begin this new academic year. What personal advice do you have for the U of M students or any student who might be listening to this?
Yep. Well, one bit of advice reaches back to our discussions of diversity a bit earlier, is I encourage students, and I did so when I had my convocation address the other day to welcome new students and their parents, I encourage students to reach out broadly within the student community. Try out different groups of friends, different organizations. Don't be comfortable only with people that come from their own hometown or their own background. Really use this as an opportunity to learn about different types of people. The other thing we advise them, which I believe strongly, is try to get to know their professors. So even though this is a big school, one of the pleasant things about the culture here is the faculty truly love to teach. They're committed. They're excited. Part of the reason they come to the University of Michigan is because of the caliber of students we attract. So I encourage all students to find ways to get to know a professor.
How did you become so successful? Do you have a personal philosophy or any direction you want to share with us along those lines?
I think in my case, it was committed parenting. You know, my parents were committed to education, to educational opportunity. I made my own way through college with very significant amounts of financial aid, work study, summer jobs. But I came from a family with a strong value placed on education. And then beyond that, when you have the privilege of being educated, you also have the responsibility of paying back to society for that privilege. So I think that's been the source of a lot of my direction in life.
I have a son who is a U of M graduate who is in his second year of med school. And when times get tough for him and all the other successful students out there, what advice do you have?
Medicine is a spectacular profession. I think students need to learn, and especially at a place like Michigan where everybody comes here having been successful in the past, is they have to learn to deal with the ups and downs and challenges of not always being the best student in the class, not having everything come easy to them, but to just sort of develop grit and perseverance, keep their eyes on their goals, and that persistence, along with their talent that got them in the front door, will see them through.
Are you still working on any research? Or I know being a professor was part of your contract. Are you still doing that?
So I'm appointed with a tenured faculty position in both the medical school and then here in campus in one of our biology programs. But right now I've put my scholarship literally in the freezer while I serve the university as president. But I certainly hope that when my term of office is over, I will be welcomed back to the faculty and start up my research program again.
Such an exciting situation to do research.
It's a wonderful era to do research in, especially biomedical research. There's never been a greater climate for discovery that really makes a difference. I study the immune system, the cells and tissues that keep you from getting infected or cure you when you get a sickness or a cold. Medically important, scientifically interesting, could have done it forever.
I see that you're out toasting ice cream socials at your house and walking around with the students on campus. Is that important to you to get out there and get with the students?
Yeah, it's enormously important to me that I have a presence in the student body and that they think of me as their president, not just the president for the faculty and the alums and the executives of the university. And the best way to do that is to get there and meet students and talk to them and hear what they're thinking about and what their aspirations are, what they're concerned about. So in addition to things of one-ofs like ice cream socials and walking around campus, I conduct monthly fireside chats where we invite in groups of 30 or 40 students and we talk for an hour about whatever's on their mind. I have office hours right here where we're sitting. Students can sign up and come and spend 15-minute blocks of time with me, again, discussing anything they're interested in. And I've done a little bit of teaching last year, and I'll do some more this year as guest lecturer in classes in areas that I have some expertise to share.
What are the students sharing with you? What's on their minds these days?
Oh, gosh. Well, last year it was football. but you know, more generally, it's issues around diversity and inclusiveness, affordability, the same kind of things their parents are concerned about. They're interested and often come and pitch me about an idea for a club or financial support they want for an activity, or a meeting they want me to come and speak at and give my endorsement to. Some of them come for career advice. As you mentioned, I'm both a medical doctor and a laboratory scientist, and I've taken a pathway that quite a number of our students are interested in considering. So they come for mentoring as well.
Do you have a favorite spot on campus?
Do I have a favorite spot on campus? Sometime I like to sit in the diag on those concrete benches that surround the Block M. And that feels like the sort of core or heart of the campus. And just watch life passing by and look at the interactions and the types of activities that go on there. The challenge for me is I am no longer at any moment, at any location, an anonymous person. So you can't just be a people watcher and soak it all in. But sometimes I get away with it for a few minutes at a time. The most striking thing about the University of Michigan to me, and the most important thing looking forward, is the breadth and depth of academic excellence here is just remarkable. There's hardly a thing that humans study or teach that doesn't go on here. And I've taken on as a challenge tapping into that breadth and promoting groups of faculty members from different disciplines to get together and focus on big problems that make a difference in the world.